Welcome to the 389th edition of Travel Itch Radio, brought to you by the best holiday gift of the year, my book, The New Baseball Bible, Notes, Nuggets, Lists, and Legends from Our National Pastime. 480 pages for just a sawbuck, such a deal. Make sure you get the 2020 version with Mike Trout, Derek Jeter, and Tom Seaver on the cover.
Here at Travel Itch Radio, we also try to cover all bases. We talk to hoteliers, destinations, authors, writers, entrepreneurs, and tour operators, everyone connected to the world of travel, and try to cover not only the USA, but interesting, unusual, and exotic places around the world. And so tonight, our guest is John Harvey, hashtag the Safari Guy of Opulent Africa, the best way to tour the Dark Continent. Welcome, John, to Travel Itch Radio.
Thank you, Mary Ellen and Dan. It's a real pleasure to be on your show. Thank you so much.
And it's great to have you, John. What is Opulent Africa, and when did you start the company?
Opulent Africa is a specialist niche safari company. We specialize in customized high-end tours to wildlife destinations in Africa. I started the company in the UK in 2008 and then started our US company in 2013.
Do you agree with the Wall Street Journal that booking for bucket list travel over the next few years is on the rise?
Completely. I think that's definitely the case. You know, everybody's had these kind of bucket list trips on the back burner, and more prominently now with what's going on in the world, they've come to the forefront. And I think it's like now, today is the time to do it, rather than you leave it a year or two, it's right now. So I completely agree with that.
John, do you think Americans have overlooked Africa as a travel destination?
I don't think so, not entirely. You know, we have a very niche market, and since I started my company in 2008, 80% of our business comes from the U.S., which is why I moved here a year ago. So I think that there's a narrow bandwidth, if you like, of people that are aware of this type of trip, and I'm trying to open that up. So people are aware of it, and I'm just trying to spread the word.
Well, what makes Opulent Africa different from other companies that run safaris or tours?
Yeah, good question. And there are a lot of companies that do this. I think what we do well is that we stay in our niche. We stay in what we know, which is African safaris, and we just get better at it. Our service levels and our relationship with our clients and the camps are what makes us excel at it. Rather than branching off into then everything else, we stay in our niche and we just be the best at it.
How has the pandemic impacted your operations?
You know, it's hit everybody very hard. The travel industry has been decimated. I'm not going to pretend it hasn't. But what it's allowed us also to do is to connect more closely with clients, guides, partners on the ground, and be more creative and more personal in the way we do that. So maybe people aren't traveling, but we definitely have closer relationships, just talking to people and thinking about what they're planning next. So it has had a big impact, but it's allowed us to focus more on that personalization.
We're talking tonight with John Harvey, the Safari Guy of Opulent Africa.
And John, you're obviously British. When and why did you relocate to St. Petersburg, Florida?
Well, a year ago, almost to the day, we moved over here. And We as a family, we were looking for a move overseas, and we kind of focused on the U.S. It made sense with my business, and we narrowed it down from the U.S. to Florida to St. Petersburg. So my wife in particular did a lot of extensive research, and St. Petersburg ticked all the boxes for us.
With a Jamaican mom and a British dad, John, did you start traveling when you were young, and is that when you caught the travel itch?
100%, yeah. I mean, I was born in the UK, born in St. Albans in Hertfordshire, but with my father's career, we were on the move from age five, maybe younger. and traveling through the Caribbean and all through the world, yeah, that kind of is ingrained in me from a young age. And we've never been more than one place for 2 years, and that definitely gave me the travel itch.
John, if you're most comfortable as a nomad, as you say, was it a natural transition for you to become an entrepreneur and eventually launch a travel-oriented business?
Yeah, I don't know, natural transition. I think I've always had that entrepreneurial spirit in me from a young age, trading Kool-Aid at boarding school for cassette tapes and stuff, you know, when I was age 10 or whatever. I've always had that if I could make a deal, I'd make it. But definitely the travel has always been there, and it took me a while to figure that out, and it wasn't until a little later in life that I came back full circle and thought, this is what I want to do as a career.
Why Africa, and how long have you been taking people there?
Why Africa? Well, we were living in Africa as a family. My father's career, as I mentioned earlier, took us there. So in the very early 80s, we were living in Africa. I got a taste of it then. And then in the 90s, I did an overland trip through the country, through the continent, visiting 20-plus countries there. And it stuck with me. And that experience of a wildlife safari really, really struck a chord in my heart. We've been through my company, I've been doing this since 2008 and even longer, maybe since 2005, 15 years we've been taking people to Africa.
You must know it. We love the title Opulent Africa, but it almost sounds like a non sequitur. Don't most people suffer from the misconception that travel to Africa is always very rough and rustic with Spartan accommodations?
Yeah, it can be. I mean, Opulent Africa, as you said, it's kind of a conundrum there, the name itself. Contrast between luxury and the poverty that you may think of Africa. But, you know, the standards of accommodation on safari are very high indeed. And the business we're in helps to lift up communities. It creates jobs. So it contributes back into that economy, and it helps create jobs. So you can have luxury in Africa, and that's exactly what we provide.
We're talking with John Harvey of Opulent Africa.
John, how are your tours different? I know you personalize trips to suit individual clients. Could you tell us how that works?
Yeah, each trip, you know, we don't have brochures. We don't have off-the-shelf trips. Each trip is, to us, it's a blank canvas. And it sounds a bit cliche, but we kind of paint the masterpiece hand-in-hand with the client. So we start with a blank canvas. We get to know you, what it is you like, what it is that will work for you. And with our experience and our knowledge of Africa and the properties, we kind of match that. But the client's always very much involved with that personalization.
And how long are your typical tours, John? And that includes travel time. Do guests need to make their own air arrangements, or is Opulent Africa one-stop shopping from start to finish?
A typical tour, if there is such a thing, I would say average is 10 to 12 days. Americans tend to have fairly limited vacation time compared to the rest of the world. So 10 to 12 days, and that gives you enough time on safari to enjoy the wildlife, immerse yourself, and relax on safari. Air arrangements, we can help with that, and we do help with that. Most people we find have worked with a travel agent their whole lives, and they will book their flights, or you get just as good deals directly with the airlines. But we usually offer guidance. These are the flights. These are the connections. These are the times. These are the airlines, and we'll help, or we'll do the whole thing ourselves, whatever the client wants.
John, please talk about what kind of accommodations your patrons can expect.
Well, a very high standard. So it's kind of five-star luxury in the bush. Depending on where you go, you may be sleeping in a tent, and it's not a kind of tent you put up yourself. It's canvas on large teak decks with a veranda overlooking the wildlife. Some of these tents have their own pools, and they have their own butlers and ensuite shower, hot water. Or, you know, some of them are even more opulent, as our name suggests, with big air-conditioned glass-fronted suites and indoor-outdoor showers. So sumptuous, but within that level of opulent and luxury, there are different standards from a more basic camp to the highest level. So very comfortable.
Oh, I'm sighing. Is it fair to say that someone who chooses Opulent Africa will have the trip of a lifetime?
But that's what we believe, and that's what we strive for. With the client, we're creating, we're making dreams and memories, and they stay with they stay with families forever. We have a lot of multi-generation families travel with us once in a lifetime, and you know, in the short time I've been doing it, they've come back, and the kids have then taken their kids on safaris. So definitely trip of a lifetime.
I want to tell our listeners that you're listening to Travel Itch Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Mary Ellen Nugent Lee. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out the archive show on our Facebook page. Okay, continuing on with John Harvey of Opulent Africa. Parts of Africa, John, are still suffering from political upheaval. Are there places you won't go, or do you try to cover the entire area?
Well, we focus on areas where there's wildlife and controlled environments and carefully managed game reserves and national parks. So that kind of focuses on East Africa and Southern Africa. And safety is paramount. You know, we're taking people and we're putting them into these areas that they don't know. They rely on us. So safety is absolute 100% paramount. So we don't cover the whole area. There are places we don't go to, whether it's safety or there's no wildlife or they're not accessible. So, you know, we operate in environments we feel comfortable with and that we know and that we've been to ourselves.
John, would you say Africa is still the dark continent in many ways?
Well, that's an interesting turn of speech, I suppose. It's certainly mysterious. The dark continent probably goes back to the 1800s, you know, mysterious and savageries and portrayed in films. The only mystery now really is the mystery of a safari. It's the attraction. It's that unknown, you know, what am I going to see? What am I going to experience? That's the kind of mystery. But in terms of the dark continent, no, very much, you know, it isn't. It's infrastructure there is fantastic. The people are fantastic, warm, friendly, and it's a place everyone should visit at least once.
Tell us where you find your guides, how you train them, how you keep them.
Well, you know, the guides are trained in country to very, very high standards. For example, in Kenya, you have a very, very high standard of training, bronze, silver, gold guides. They do this when they come from school. They either want to go and become a guide and they do that themselves, or they follow the family who have been guides all their lives and they go in. So we don't train them per se. They will have followed very strict and very rigorous training programs so that, you know, they're in their environment they work in, they're the best they can be. And they stay with companies many, many years.
John, do your customers have issues with food, language, or even political issues while on tour?
No issues. You know, before anybody goes on our trips, we have a discussion with them about any dietary requirements, and they're portrayed. They're passed on, sorry, to the camps and lodges in advance. Everybody speaks English in all the camps and lodges we go to. If people need a specialist guide in a foreign language, that can also be arranged. Political issues, no. You know, we wouldn't send people out there if such a thing was happening. There have on occasion been elections in East Africa, and if that is the case and we think there may be an issue, we won't book that. We'll go somewhere else. But no, we certainly don't put people in any unsafe environments.
I'm looking forward to having matzo ball soup in the middle of a safari. That sounds great.
Why not?
Okay. John, seriously, what types of wildlife might people expect to see?
Pretty much everything you would see in a documentary. You know, a lot of these National Geographic documentaries are shot on location in the places we operate. So lion, elephant, buffalo, rhino, cheetah, giraffe, zebra, everything you can imagine, everything you would see, that is how it is. They're right there on the plains and around the camps, and you'll see those on game drives.
We are talking with John Harvey, the safari guy of Opulent Africa.
John, because of the pandemic, are people looking for more isolated, socially distant trips, especially to out-of-the-way remote destinations?
Yeah, I think people are, you know. And the thing with Africa, it's perfect for that kind of trip anyway, because all of the locations are very remote. So if you arrive in a city in an international airport, you have to fly by light aircraft, you know, an hour, 2 hours into the bush, the middle of nowhere to this luxurious camp. and you're just naturally socially distanced from other people. So it already lends itself well to that kind of to the current situation, because there's nobody else around, maybe 20 people in camp maximum, and you're already distanced, you know, when you go on a game drive. So Africa works really well.
Oh, that's fantastic. What are some of your favorite places in Africa, and how often do you get to go there yourself?
Oh, they're all my favorites. anywhere in Africa, I'll quite happily take. But personally, I love the more remote, the better. You know, areas like Botswana's Okavango Delta, Zambia's South Dwangwa National Park, the Skeleton Coast in Namibia, the more remote, the better. Because we don't typically experience that. So to get me out of this environment that I live in, to that in the bush, in the natural habitats of this wonderful wildlife, you know, that's where I'll be. And to answer your question, how often?
Yeah.
Sorry to talk over you. Normally we go once a year. This is the first year I haven't been since I started my company. So we're there once a year.
And John, in your opinion, what is the future of travel, especially to Africa, and are people reluctant to fly, for example, or to eat indoors?
Yeah, I think it'll take a while. The future of travel will definitely coming back. We're seeing more inquiries now for trips. So the future of travel is strong and positive, especially to Africa. Yes, there is a reluctancy for people to board a plane right now, but you know, with a safari, you need to really plan a year out anyway, because the camps are so small, they fill up in advance. So 2021 is already pretty heavily booked. So we're actually taking bookings for 2022. And you know, safety measures that are in place and certain protocol helps to reassure people that it will be okay. But we're looking at booking so far out. The future is definitely bright. And eating and dining on a safari in particular, you're often outside on big, huge decks under the stars. So you're not in confined places in small restaurants in close proximity.
And John, does opulent Africa use small airplanes to get from point A to point B, especially where roads are not always available or accessible?
Yes, we do. You know, a lot of these places are in the middle of nowhere, and the distances can be vast, especially in a country like Namibia. So where the roads are not great, or in the Okavango Delta, you have to fly in because of there's so much water around. Each camp has an airstrip, so you fly by light aircraft, a small Cessna. It may just be you and your wife on it, or you and your partner on it, or a small group of people.
Oh, John, it sounds just so wonderful. And you call yourself the safari guy. You're an adventurer at heart. Could you tell us more about places like the Okavango Delta in Botswana and southern Tanzania and that kind of those wonderful places?
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, those kind of places are my favorites, you know. And what I like about being somewhere like the Salu, it's timeless, you know. You can imagine being a 19th century explorer in the wilds of Africa. There's nothing around, just you and nature and the animals. And similar in the Okavango Delta, you can't really measure time when you're out in the bush. When you're in the lodge, yes, you have the creature compass. But when you're out there with the wildlife, just you sitting at a waterhole, watching a herd of elephants come down to drink, I mean, it's just magical, really. I love that. And there's so many special places like that in Africa. I've been very fortunate to experience that.
We're talking with John Harvey, the safari guy of Opulent Africa. And John, does Opulent Africa receive a lot of repeat business?
We do, and we pride ourselves on that. You know, I would say, you know, 30% to 40% of our business is repeat business, and we have clients that travel with us every single year since we started. It's something that it means a lot to us, you know, to have clients that want to come back time and time again speaks volumes from the way we run our company, the experiences they have, and it's credit to our partners in Africa who take care of them, the guides, the staff, the camps. So we do, and it's building.
John, let's talk about the weather in Africa. I know it changes from place to place. When is the best time of the year to go?
It's very changeable. It's such a vast continent. It's different almost from every country. Generally speaking, June to the end of October is the dry season. So if you were to go anywhere during that time, temperature will be different, but it will be dry. So they're kind of the optimum months, June through October.
Okay. And Mount Kilimanjaro, isn't that in Africa?
Absolutely, yeah. It's in Tanzania, and it's very popular. You can go on a hike, and a 7-8 day hike typically, because you need some time to acclimatize. And you can do a 7-day hike or a climb up Mount Kilimanjaro, and then you can come down into Tanzania, do a safari, or go across to Zanzibar in the Indian Ocean and relax on the beach. Very popular trip.
Have you done Mount Kilimanjaro yourself?
Do you know, it's the only thing I've yet to do. I just haven't managed to set aside that time. It's on my bucket list, do you know? I've done everything else, and that's on my bucket list. I think because the time is so precious when we go to Africa ourselves to spend more than a week doing that, it's difficult to justify when I can see 20, 30 camps and come back and have that experience. So it's on my list.
Okay. What can Travelitch radio listeners in the United States expect on their tours? What are some of their choices and options?
You know, there's so many. Relaxation, adventure, luxury, excitement. Because we tailor everything to the individual, the people that want to climb Kilimanjaro might not be the people that want to just sit in camp overlooking the waterhole and vice versa. So there's such a range of activities, whether you want to go on a guided walk, you want to do some canoeing, some boating, game drives. There is a wide, wide choice, and that's why we customize it to the individual.
And since you do customize each itinerary, is it fair to say each trip begins with a conversation between company and client?
100%. We'll have several conversations because there's usually more than one person in that decision making of the trip. So a lot of people that come to us have no idea where to start. So we'll have a conversation about the different countries and seasons, as you said, what to expect, activities, how long to go for. So it's multiple conversations and itineraries back and forth, and eventually we'll fine-tune and we'll focus in on what ticks the right boxes.
Do you have age limits, like a minimum or a maximum? And how stressful are your trips? Is it a lot of hiking and walking involved? And what kind of vehicles do you use?
Age limits, you know, I guess probably some of the camps would say 6 to 8 years would be a minimum. Much younger than that, I think you have to be aware that you're in a wild environment, and wild animals are around the vehicle. So if you have particular noises or anything like that, it can disturb the animal. So I think 6 to 8 is a sensible age for a safari. Mm-hmm. If you're going gorilla trekking in Rwanda, Uganda, you need to be 15. You cannot trek if you're under 15. Mm-hmm. No maximum. We've had 88-year-olds who have gone to trek the gorillas with us. So that, you know, as long as you're fit and healthy and you can do it, yeah, you can be any age. The trips are definitely not stressful. There's as much hiking and walking as you want to do. I have clients that don't want to do any of that, and they just want to be in the vehicle and just to be driven around and see the animals. And these are quality 4x4 vehicles, Land Rovers, Land Cruisers, usually open-sided, maximum of 6 people to a vehicle, so everybody gets a window seat if you like. And they're well-equipped, so, you know, they're comfortable, well-equipped, well-maintained, and, it's a relaxing trip. It's a vacation, so it's meant to be fun, and it's at each individual's pace.
And what kind of price ranges are we talking about? Are there discounts for children, students, seniors, any kind of discounts?
Yeah, I mean, one of our trips, average 10-day trip, I think really you're looking at sort of $500 to $750 a day, at that high end, and then up from there, you've got park fees, you've got the accommodations, the activities, everything is included in that. So I would say $500 to $750 a day, roughly. Children, yeah, some of the camps, children under 12 will get discounts. Some of the camps at certain times of year have children go free, depending on their ages. Students and seniors, no, not as far as I'm aware. They're special offers at different times of the year, so the price does vary, and we try and tailor each trip to the budget as best we can.
Okay, John, you mentioned special offers at different times of the year. Is there a bargain period of the year that you offer?
Unfortunately, I think a safari is never going to be a bargain. It's probably the most expensive trip you can do. But Dan, there are definitely low seasons. You know, as I said earlier, June through October is kind of prime season. So if you go April, May, or November, there's shoulder seasons. You may get some rain. And in Botswana, certainly, the price can be a third of what it would cost you in high season just because of that weather change. So, and also you'll get like stay 4 nights and pay for 3 nights, or stay 7, pay for 5. So if you're flexible with your travel, the weather's not the be-all, end-all. I mean, after all, the wildlife doesn't go anywhere. It's always there. You can definitely bring that cost down.
So you're saying that some of the animals are not like my dog who refuses to go out in the rain.
You know, it's a good point. The gorillas get a bit grumpy and they don't want to do anything when it's raining, but they're more like us. But no, everyone else stays put. You know, you can see everything.
Okay. John, is there anything that we haven't asked you that you'd like to add?
There isn't. I mean, we've covered a lot of ground, you know. We love what we do. We're fortunate to do it. We never take that for granted. The whole process of putting together these trips is pleasurable for us and the client, and it's meant to be fun. So, you know, there's no pressure. There's no hard sell. It's a fun thing to do. But no, I don't need to add anything. We've covered so much, and I'm really grateful that you've had me on the show.
Well, we're glad to have you. How do Travel Itch Radio listeners learn more about Opulent Africa?
They can get in touch through my website, opulentafrica.com, or the safariguide.us. They're both the same website, so opulentafrica.com. You'll find me on there, ways to contact us, get in touch. I'm in my office here in Florida, happy to talk to anybody, even just to advise people or whatever. So anytime, please get in touch.
Okay, and our guest tonight has been John Harvey, the Safari Guy of Opulent Africa. Thank you so much for visiting with us. We really enjoyed having you on Travel Itch Radio.
Thank you, Dan and Mary Ellen, and all the listeners of Travel Itch Radio. It's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed the show.
Well, thanks very much, John Harvey.
Thank you.
And listeners, don't go away yet, because even though summer is over, baseball is not. Baseball is in its long playoff season, so this is your chance to get the best armchair companion for the postseason and the World Series. It's my book, the new Baseball Bible, Notes, Nuggets, Lists, and Legends from Our National Pastime. 480 pages for less than a sawbuck. It's both a coffee table book and a bathroom book. Read it backwards and still enjoy it. That's the new Baseball Bible 2020 edition with Mike Trout on the cover. You can get it on Amazon.com today. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Next week, same time, same station, same writer, and same announcers. It's our annual Halloween show. We'll talk to Kelly Ronald of the Hotel Bethlehem in beautiful Poconos in Pennsylvania. And she will tell us all about the haunted room in this gorgeous historic Hotel of America property. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with my beautiful and talented co-host, Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.